WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 35 degrees. We look for mostly cloudy skies here today, a high of 48. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of the latest area and state news, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In the news this morning, the Atlantic Police Department reports the arrest of five people over the past few days. On Sunday, 38-year-old Troy McCurdy of Atlantic was arrested for tampering with a witness. McCurdy was arrested Saturday as well for disorderly conduct. Also arrested Saturday was 26-year-old Justin Knutson of Atlantic. He was charged with public intoxication, two counts of theft in the fourth degree, three counts of burglary in the third degree, and theft in the fifth degree. And 24-year-old Joseph Fredrickson of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for theft in the fifth degree in connection with a rash of recent burglaries. He was taken into custody after Knutson was found to be inside one of the vehicles he was allegedly broken into. Knutson was also found to be allegedly in possession of stolen property. And officers with the APD arrested 23-year-old Tyler Mills of Atlantic on Friday. Mills was arrested on a warrant for probation violation. All four of the individuals were booked into the Cass County Jail. News time is 8:01.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest Monday afternoon of a Corning man. 24-year-old Cody Sanson was taken into custody on a charge of domestic assault. His bond was set at $1,000. Voters in the Atlantic Community School District are likely to head to the polls on June 25th for a special election with regard to an $11 million bond issue for capital improvement projects within the district. Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein said school administrators are circulating a petition trying to get 400 signatures, which will enable the election to take place. Amstein said the expansion and improvements are needed because of both the current and Department of Education projected increases in enrollment.
For the past few years, those projections for kindergarten have consistently gone up. In 2009, the projected enrollment was about 111 kindergarten students. For the 13-14 year, the projected enrollment from the DE is 140.5. We anticipate about 150 kids just based on our preschool numbers and the numbers that we have coming in.
He says since 2010, the district has surpassed the Department of Education's projected kindergarten enrollment figures by as much as 15 to 20 students. The enrollment numbers for years 2014 through 2017 continue to show a consistently high number of students entering kindergarten. The result is that the district is literally bursting at the seams, especially at the middle school, which has already undergone a renovation project, but still requires the use of a mobile classroom. If approved by the voters, the bond issue will pay for improvements at each of the district's buildings. At the Washington Elementary School, that means four new classrooms and a cafeteria area.
Right now, we have a current building occupancy of about 380 for that building based on current standards. And right now, we have 525 kids in that building, and that's not counting the two preschool classes that we moved to the old Lincoln building. So, taking a look at expanding space, also taking a look at trying to even out our class numbers.
The bond would also help to add 11 classrooms onto the Schuler building, with the third graders being moved to that facility once the work is complete. There would also be a commons area and cafeteria area at the middle school, in addition of seven classrooms to the high school, plus an expansion of the art room. And the bond issue would help to cover the replacement of aging heat pumps at the high school and relieve traffic congestion by building an access road for buses behind the Washington Elementary School. Bond would increase the debt service levy 90 cents from the current 88 cents to $1.78 per $1,000 of taxable valuation, which Amstein said is not the highest it's been in recent times.
In 1994, when the board did the high school and bonded for that, for $8.3 million, the tax or the debt service levy had to be set at $2.70. So I think the board's done a great job in managing that money. The high school is getting ready to come off debt service. We make our last payment for that in May.
Amstein says they're proposing the bond issue now in part because the economic climate is conducive to making such additions and improvements to the district's facilities.
You know, it's an opportunity, and fortunately for the board, the economy is doing well, and interest rates are low. I'm not saying that's why we need to do it. Certainly, we need to do it because we have to provide instructional space for kids, and it's kind of like the theory of putting a gallon in a half-gallon bucket. You just can't do it, and unfortunately, we're spilling over in classroom space, too.
438 high school seniors across Iowa will be honored on Sunday, April 28th, at the 11th Annual Governor's Scholar Recognition Ceremony held at Hy-Vee Hall in Des Moines, and that begins at 1 o'clock. The Governor's Office, the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and its title sponsor, the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation, are presenting the recognition program. Governor Terry Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds will host the event and address the audience of 2,500-plus people. Iowa Farm Bureau President Craig Hill, Brett Nanninga, Superintendent of the Tri-Center Community Schools, and a chairperson of the Board of Control of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and Tanya Johnson, 2013 Iowa Teacher of the Year from Cedar Rapids, will welcome the students and their guests. The seniors being honored were selected by their high schools as the highest academic achievers. Each student will receive a photo plaque of themselves with Governor Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, along with a certificate to commemorate their achievement. Each student's most influential teacher will also receive a certificate of appreciation. A reception for the students, their parents, and their most influential teachers and other guests will follow the ceremony. In addition to being recognized as the state's brightest students, over 99% of the group participates in school activities, with about 80% participating in at least one interscholastic sport. More than 60% say they plan to pursue their post-secondary education in Iowa. Among the local honorees at that event on April 28th is Elizabeth Mulder of Adair Casey, Kaylee Welsh of AHST, Scott Caslow of Atlantic, Marissa Hobrick of Audubon, Trevor McKee of CAM, Brendan McAllister of Coon Rapids, Andrea Beck of Corning, Jacob Hartvigson of Exira EHK, Haley Schmidt of Griswold, Therese Frells of Guthrie Center, Adam Zacone of Harlan, Jacob Cron of IKM Manning, Emily Dickinson of Logan Magnolia, Hannah West of Missouri Valley, Julie Bricker of Nonaway Valley, Morgan James of Orient Maxburg, Brenna Hafner of Panorama, Jeffrey Sellers of Red Oak, Rachel Faga of Riverside, Kara Allen of Stanton, Ryan Hempel of Trainer, Charles Peters of Tri-Center, Madison Vanslau of Underwood, Jill Vanderhoof of Villisca, Lauren Severs of Walnut, and Alyssa Bloom of Woodbine. Officers with the Atlantic Police Department investigated a minor accident during the prom last Saturday. Authorities say vehicles driven by Ashley Friend of Lewis and Barbara Waters of Cumberland collided at 14th and Plum Streets near the entrance to the high school at around 9:55 p.m. Saturday. The accident happened in the middle of the intersection after both vehicles stopped, but then proceeded into the intersection. The damage amounted to $12,000. There were no injuries reported, and no citations were issued. The last of three Cass County legislative coffees with state representatives and an area senator will be held in Griswold beginning this Saturday at 10 a.m. at the newly remodeled Griswold Library. The event is sponsored by PRIDE, the Progressive Rural Iowa Development Enterprise Group. Following the coffee and conversation, a ribbon-cutting ceremony will be held for the reopening of the Griswold Public Library following its extensive remodeling. And finally, in area news, the Shelby County Emergency Management yesterday gave an update on the fire danger index in the county. Last week, you may recall, the signs were in the moderate category because of the extremely dry tinder and brush. However, with the moisture received over the area the past few days, the signs for the fire danger index in Shelby County are now in the low danger category through Thursday. That's when we'll receive our next update from emergency management officials. Taking a look now at world headlines at this hour, the young victim of the Boston Marathon bombings is being remembered as a vivacious boy who loved to run and climb. 8-year-old Martin Richard was among the three people killed in the explosions. That's according to a person who spoke with a friend of the family. A candle burned on the stoop of the family's single-family home in the city's Dorchester section today, with the word peace written in chalk on the front walkway. A doctor at a hospital where victims of the Boston Marathon explosions were taken says an X-ray of one victim he saw showed what could be small ball bearings throughout the injury. Three people were killed and more than 140 people injured by two explosions that took place just seconds apart near the finish line. Dr. Stephen Epstein of the Department of Emergency Medicine at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center said in an email that the X-ray of the leg he saw has what appeared to be small, uniform, round objects throughout it, similar in appearance to BBs. He says exactly what the objects are remains to be determined. The Pakistani Taliban, who have threatened attacks on the U.S. because of its support for the Pakistani government, are denying that they played any role in the Boston Marathon bombings. Meanwhile, a small army of investigators is trying to develop information that could lead them to a suspect and a reason for the blasts. The U.S. Senate plans to continue the gun control debate today as support seems to be waning for expanding background checks for firearms buyers. But the measure may change as both sides compete for support in one of the pivotal fights in the battle over curbing gun violence. The two sponsors seem willing to consider a change to their deal that would add another exemption. And U.S. builders broke ground in March on homes at a seasonally adjusted rate of $1.04 million, the fastest pace in nearly 5 years, on a surge of apartment construction. The gain signals further strength in the housing market ahead of the spring buying season. The Commerce Department said builders increased their construction pace last month 7% from February. The gain was driven by a 31.1% in apartment construction. News time is 8:11.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Carol Christensen, age 78, of Harlan, died Thursday at Murtu Medical Center. Funeral services for Carol Christensen will be this morning at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Deborah Studelberg, age 47, of Exira, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Deborah Studelberg will be today at 1 o'clock at the Eastside Christian Church in Council Bluffs. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Deanna Edwards, of age 63, of Perry, died Thursday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Deanna Edwards will be today at 1:30 at the Karras Family Funeral Home in Perry. Wanda Jewell, age 76, of Harlan, died Thursday in Council Bluffs. Memorial services for Wanda Jewell will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Harold Kidd McLaughlin, age 88, of Audubon, died Saturday at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Harold McLaughlin will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Hugh Rusty Bailey, age 60, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Atlantic, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for Rusty Bailey will be this Thursday at 11 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Jean Saltgrove Lowry, age 90, of San Diego and formerly of Bridgewater, died Sunday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Jean Lowry will be held 11 a.m. Thursday at the United Methodist Church in Bridgewater. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle is in charge of the arrangements. Dean Stiles, age 76, of Dexter, died Sunday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Dean Stiles will be Friday at 11 o'clock at the Dexter United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has the arrangements. Louis Andreessen, age 80, of Manning, died Saturday. Funeral services for Louis Andreessen will be on Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Lowell Lair, age 75, of Omaha and formerly of Manila, died Sunday. Private family graveside services for Lowell Lair will be held in the Nishnabotna Cemetery in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila is in charge of the arrangements. Barbara Harris, age 83, of Wyota, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Barbara Harris are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Bonnie Moore, age 80, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Atlantic, died Monday at Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. Services for Bonnie Moore are pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.